Hi, Ken. Hi, Laura.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Ken.
Hello. Hi, Laura. I don't see you connected to the audience. She's bringing the handcuffs for the day.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Laura.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
I'm good. I'm invisible. So we change that for sure.
Welcome to tonight's Board of Education meeting. Certainly nice turnout, both in person and remotely. Thank you, everybody, for coming and spending a Tuesday night with us. Welcome to the Board of Education. We'll take a look.
Melissa
Panada
here. Sarah
Heider
here. George Cardigan.
Dan
Foley.
Here.
Rebecca O'Hara. Laura Harris.
Here.
Hey, Mark.
Here.
We'd like to make a recommendation. There are some superintendents there. We'll be sure our parents get home to do their homework. And I'd like to move board to number six up to after right before appointment new hires. We'll go to the clerk of the bank. Tyler, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Well, a favor, Laura, Penny?
We can't hear you too well, Jim.
Okay, so we move up item number six until before item number four, because there's two athletes here to allow them to talk and interrupt the way on it. They're talking about. So that was a motion made by George and seconded by Kara. And I was ready to point out to all those in favor.
Got it.
You good, Ken?
Aye.
All okay. So one more time, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We're trying to do the microphone thing. Again, they're a little sensitive, but for 10 more and the problems will we'll try to make sure we're using the microphone. Okay, with that, item number two, public participation. Is anyone from the public to speak before the board this evening? Okay, please arise, state your name. I might ask that you come to the table to the left of Board Member O'Hara and perhaps use that microphone so the folks from the public can hear you. We'll just have you sit there one at a time. I appreciate the having you asked on and state your name again for the record, please. My name is Aaron Suma. First, I would like to say I'm very thankful for getting an opportunity to play in an independent football league. We've been through a lot. You guys know this. Everyone knows this. We've been into a whole emotional roller coaster since March. We've been working, just trying to play one last season. That's all we asked for, man. You know, we can't all afford to buy our own pads, buy our own helmets, all this stuff, pay for independent, etc. I've been playing with these guys since we were kids, and I would do anything to go and get one last shot. You know, Darion, We did not play last year due to injury. I missed my whole senior year, which is very important for going to college and playing football at the next level. And I could really use a film. We could all use a film. And football, football has been a big part of my life since I first started. I know we would have never came this close as a group if it wasn't for football. I consider these guys my brothers. I don't have a brother, so I have all sisters. So these guys, to me, I love each and every one of them. I'll die for each and every one of my teammates. I'll die for playing independent football. I just ask for one last chance just to go out there and prove that we can do this. We have the best numbers in CC. Everyone is playing. Over 1,000 high school football games have been played worldwide. We just want one chance. We don't want to play 7-on-7. I don't want to do line-up challenges. We just want to go out and just show we can do this with following the protocols and just go out there and play our hearts out and show and prove to everyone that we can do this.
Thank you very much.
I'm Jeff Polis, a senior at Erie High School, and kind of piggyback on what the train said, you know, since March, it's been a very emotional ride from practicing to stop practicing, from being told I'm a student to not, and for this independent football league to kind of work out the way it has, and, you know, this is the last obstacle you really have to face with the equipment. And, you know, I'm just asking for you guys, you know, to approve us to use the equipment, so, you know, finally after the roller coaster ride, you know, things and smoothly, and we finally got a clean that we've been dying for since the spring. And, you know, like Larry said, you know, we've been playing with a group of guys who are Pop Warner, and it's, you know, as bad as it is, we can't build a full team. That opportunity to play is more than enough now. And, you know, I just hope you guys prove us. And, yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Aaron McLean. I'm not too well as speaking, but I'm going to try this. So, last year, I found my passion for football, and I started playing ball all of these communities that I have every day. And it really, like, moved me in a way that I didn't expect to be moved. And I just want to ask if you guys can allow us to use equipment for our last chance in case of the corona. So, by the time our spring season might start. So, I just want to say thank you for our opportunity to speak today. And I'm most thankful for this independent league that we are fortunate to actually be a part of. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming out and addressing the board. You heard we didn't move the topic of allowing you to use equipment on the list. Again, I'm also very excited and very proud to see student engagement each year. It's the level of leadership that our students have. So thank you very much for coming out. Is anybody else from the public who wishes to speak before the board tonight?
I just wanted to read a brief letter that I had written earlier today.
My
name is Jeff Polis. I've heard from my son earlier.
So you'd be Big Jeff.
Big Jeff.
For a couple more years.
Hopefully I don't get any bigger. Okay, so here we go. Good evening. As many of you are well known the last several weeks regarding the decision of whether or not to play football in Boulder State of the week. As a result, there has been much disappointment for the athletes, particularly those seniors who may not have another opportunity to see the football field again. Recently, a chance that presented itself here in the Valley with the formation of an independent football team out of the Woodland High School Regional High School. At least 5 30 seniors have expressed a desire to play. These are separate times as opportunity to represent the stability of the team that the sport of football has to offer, and distraction from the constant reminder of space daily that our lives are not as we want to. Through the generosity of others, the costs of play are covered, leaving the equipment to be the last circle as to whether or not these boys can be properly outfitted to join this team. As I'm sure most of you know, the cost of our athletic equipment is incredibly high, and with their consideration and consent to a lot of research, certainly I am not certain with the only time left to join that he got committed to this roster. I'm sure I speak for these kids when I say they will sign a waiver for the use of the equipment, as they have signed a waiver already playing this week. In closing, I'm asking on behalf of the students here to please consent for the use of equipment and let them play. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the public who wishes to speak before the board this evening? Anyone remotely who wishes to speak before the board this evening? Okay, sorry.
Good evening, everyone. Rob Heider, 51 Franklin Avenue. I just want to speak in support of allowing these five Derby senior football players to use our Derby High School football equipment. With all the ups and downs this past football season, with the CIAC changing their minds every few weeks about whether or not to let these kids play football, so much was out of our control. It was very frustrating to watch. My wife, Tara, and I have been working on securing funding to pay the fee for these independent leagues in the event that the season was canceled for 11-on-11 and if the club fell through. The fee is it's expensive. It's about $500. It's $500 per player, and it's going to be an additional $300 to $500 per player if we have to go out and purchase equipment. In addition, if we have to purchase the equipment, there's the time frame of getting fitted and having that equipment delivered. So the sooner we can outfit these athletes with their equipment, the better. It's my understanding that they are beginning practice this Saturday, so we're only a few days away. Many community members have rallied in support, financial support, to give these kids, our kids, the opportunity to play football one last time in this independent league. So I'd be so grateful and happy if our board allowed them this opportunity to play football their senior year one last time. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone from the public who wishes to speak, either in person or remotely? Once, or twice, three times. Public portion is closed. Thank you for all of this. Again, as mentioned, the item will be behind the agenda. Madam Secretary, item number three.
Yes, I.
I want to make sure you both weren't kind of good. I don't want to. Okay, we're going to go to the second session, okay?
Okay, can you hear me?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Yes.
I couldn't hear anything at all, Jim, so I don't know what's making. The only one I heard was Rob. Okay.
Do you guys hear student athletes?
Everything is muffled. I can't understand anything.
Okay. I'll give you an update on the student athletes in executive session. I don't know if you want to call. I'll plug in yourself. Okay. We are in executive session. So the folks in the audience will lose a lot of here. There's really no place to social media because we'll start to say, what? Can we do that?
We can. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Laura.
Yes.
I'm on my cell phone.
Okay.
You can call 10.
No problem. Okay.
What did you say, Laura? Can you hear me, Laura? Unmute yourself.
Okay. Jim's going to call our cell phones for executive session.
Okay.
So we got to get out of the meeting, and then we'll get back in the meeting.
Laura, you can probably just put yourself on mute.
Can I do that?
Yeah, you should. In the bottom left corner of your screen, there should be a mute button and a start video.
My screen, I see it now.
Yeah.
I'm using my iPad, not my Chromebook. Thank you.
You might want to let me know too that it might be easier if Jim zooms into the meeting so we can just hear the audio better, if that's an option for him.
I don't know what he's gonna, he said he's gonna call my cell, so.
No, I meant when they come back from executive session, when you guys come back.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Brad, is there?
Brad's not.
Brad?
No,
who's
this
that?
Is James Nichols.
No.
It's James Nichols.
If Jimmy talks near Doc's computer, maybe we could hear. Because the microphones aren't doing any good.
Yeah, he said to just mute now for the meeting. And Jim's gonna call our phones.
Okay, you can stop video.
Yeah, but you could stop both if you want and then put them, I'm gonna stop both and then put them on later. I'm waiting for Jim to call now.
any better, Laura?
A little bit.
Okay. James Nichols said better. Okay,
Laura, can you hear me now?
Thank you, yes. Is that James?
Yes.
Thanks, James.
All right, Laura, can you hear?
Yep.
Laura can hear. Okay, here we go, folks. We're going to move on. We already did item four, and then we're going to go to item six. So, item number four, point of the list. Madam Secretary.
Worcester Board of Education approved the hire of Deanne Chester Rivera as a long-term substitute as a Spanish teacher at Sherry High School.
The motion is made. Is there a second? Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Laura, aye. In favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yay!
Did I say your name right?
Say your first
name right. It's Beatrice. We're close. Hold on, all right. All right, we're going to say some wonderful things about it.
I just
want
to take a minute to introduce everyone to Ms. Rivera. We're very lucky to be able to have her with us. She holds a bachelor's in Spanish and
Ms. Rivera, thank you very much. Welcome to the board meeting, certainly, and not only can you teach us Spanish, but it sounds like you can be us up. So that's congratulations, welcome to Jersey. We're excited to have you, and welcome.
Thank you.
Process, you're really, I want to come in with this, Mr. Brown running, your office.
Marketing, the presentations, the managing sales force, we've been accountable for their numbers, their activity, and certainly one of the most important things to us is that customer service. So that at central office, we will become known as we're reaching out to you to ask what help we can provide you as opposed to the other way around. So we're just really super happy that they came aboard and we're working Monday when we put the ground down on the end. So,
okay, we very much are a family here, so we look forward to having you. I think you'll find that a superintendent is like an energetic funding and steroids. So, again, I'm sure you'll find welcome to everybody.
Plans, sir. Thank you very much. So Alyssa came to us at the start of this school year as a long-term sub, as a 10th and 12th grade special education teacher. Alyssa is a recent graduate of Southern Connecticut, Go Owls. Prior to being with us, she was across the street in Ansonia doing her teaching practicum, and she served as both a resource special education teacher as well as in a high school high school self-contained program. When I spoke with the folks over there, they had everything great to say about Alyssa, from being a kind person to someone that rolls up her sleeves and digs into the work. She doesn't hesitate, and from what we've seen, Alyssa, we couldn't agree more. Alyssa truly has jumped into the work here. And like I said, she's serving as that 10th and 12th grade resource case manager. She's not only impressed me with just having the wherewithal to ask questions and the willingness to try new things, but she's impressed her colleagues and really developed a rapport with them and most importantly with the kids. So I'm extremely pleased to have her join the team. And welcome, Alyssa. Sorry, I didn't hear that, Mr. Gilday. Okay. You want me to just keep doing this?
Oh. Scroll down a little bit more this way. And this way. Okay, ready? Very good. Congratulations.
Okay, so for all the folks who are new hires, certainly under no obligation to stay for the next 3 hours. By all means, feel free to leave. We won't take that personal. Congratulations. Welcome to the interview. Thank you.
Simply from a good sports management and injury management standpoint.
not going to exceed the number of allowable hours on the CIAC rules, which is 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, plus per game. So we're going to skip to those in terms of the hours of play for the kids, regardless of which, whether they're playing in both or which one or the other.
And I'm sorry, I'm trying to have a goal in the
game.
So if the high school team is practicing on a Monday, 5 days a week, those playing the alternative league are essentially losing practice with the high school team to play the alternative league.
Depending on how many days a week they're independently practices, and that I don't have their practice schedule for game schedules. I don't know if any of you have been finalized, but the players will know what those are, and the parents of players will share those with the coach and our coaches. Yes. So there was a request to use our field by the city independent league. Currently, that decision, first board of aldermen lies with the mayor. According to executive order 7PP, the governor's office, it also lies with the mayor, chief executive officer of the municipality, on whether they allow higher sports to play. But this league will be playing, the independent league will be playing in Derby. The 77 league will be playing here. 77 is a moderate risk allowable by CAC. So that's the football update where we are today. The other fall sports update is the cheer falls in the same category as football. It's high risk. As football does for the 11v11, not the 77. So right now, the cheer, we have suspended the stump. Now, cheer itself, not the sideline cheers, but the stumping portion of the cheer, we will suspend until CIAC, since it's allowable. Next, also under this is the equipment loan for players. Can you go to that, Mr. Chairman? It's under the same agenda item.
Okay, so this is an item on the agenda. Is there a motion made to kind of discuss on?
Motion of Board of Education approved the request from parents to vulnerable ball equipment the players from the Derby playing in an independent football league.
Motion made to second. Any discussion? Any discussion?
So if there's waivers signed up or injury or COVID, everything in the form that they signed?
Yeah, so what's unique about this waiver is they're going to be signing a waiver with the independent league, but also with us if the board decides to hold with the equipment. So you ask the parents, it's a proposal tonight to submit a letter of request. We also have a waiver that was drafted by Tom Mooney, and that waiver is not only a waiver on the liability of the board that is mentioned in it, but it also explains to the parent before they sign it the risks of COVID-19 as well. So we're educating people on the risks in the waiver, and at the same time reducing liability to the board should something occur. Yes, we'll get it as well. There's liability in anything. You saw one of the cases that Tom Mooney or Kyle utilized. It's similar to cases that they use to address this issue are things that we still do today, every day. So somebody is using our playground outside of the time of school. So it's a liability, it's a risk. We're not locking it in, and they are using them. We, as a board, are liable if a suit is brought it, but that we won't. So I think the risk is over there of a lot of things we can do, but we may not even realize that this is one of the examples that they need to do. In the case law that Kyle made or Tomlin cited as an example. But we both share that there is a liability to the board if somebody drops suit, as there is with anything else.
Any other questions, comments? Motion to be made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I abstain.
Can you change? Let's go to the motion carries. Thank you. Good luck, congratulations, boys. All righty, the Derby case, wow, the room has been, listen, you're hanging out with the champ, huh? Wow. Gee whiz, there is a good thing about the sandwich over there, I'm just saying. Well, what I'd like to say is we hit the Derby public school building update. It is National Principal Month, so if you want to have all the wonderful principals on behalf of the Board of Education, we are very fortunate that you lead the schools in the manner that you do so. We appreciate you being stewards of our students, looking out for them, protecting for them, educating them. We as a board never take you for granted. We recognize the tough times you are. So on behalf of the entire Board of Education, thank you. Okay, what we'd like to do here is just have each administrator just kind of give a brief overview on saying about Rebecca and how you think the opening of school went. Any concerns you have? Fair enough. All right. Who's our Ms. Conway? You're up first. Hitting me off. How's the Conway?
Walking in with us, it's pretty exciting. They're embracing the new, very unnatural way to run preschool with desks and little circles to sit on, but again, they're 100% embracing it with their masks on. We don't even really have any of the students that have special needs have to come here. So, pretty crazy, but pretty awesome.
Okay, so what would you say? I guess you can take it to be part of the read. Can be to you. You need an offer to speak to you as well. So, do you need to come over the reasons for the candidate? So, if you wanted to, Mario, you're up. So first thanks for all the birthday wishes that I received today. Appreciate it. Not easy for 22, but taking it in stride. Brian's school is off to a phenomenal start. Very impressed with first and foremost the students have been phenomenal in terms of follow directions, safety protocols. Recess is part of the biggest challenge as far as just getting back to listening to want to play together. So we just have to remind them to be safe. I want to thank the parents and guardians. The kids aren't getting that great, they're going to keep them home. Notifying us and going to get their kids tested. They're very responsible. All the parents I spoke to said it's free. I don't want to be very infecting other kids in the school. They're terrible about that. So it's been great. And as far as instruction, the live secure teaching is going very well. It is additional work for the teachers, but the safety is strived. Our remote learners numbers continue to go down. Well, we're currently around 82% in person now. We're in the high 30s for remote learners. And I'm very happy to say all our remote learners have been engaged. So we haven't had to track kids down with the non-commissioned class. So not only will things are going well, we're very pleased. We're just wrapping up our fall midterm sessions now. So the teachers will have the data they need informed instruction to start the year. And I open to any questions you guys may have.
Running smoothly, we'll start to feel like we are about that very soon.
I had a question. I just want to thank all the principals for everything they've been doing, especially James and Stacy also with getting school off to the ground with our new normal. I just wanted to ask if, how are we doing with space in schools for those students that have to, that are required to have OT, PT, or tutoring? Do we have enough space in our schools for those students?
Thank you. Okay. We do not have any major safety concerns that we're in. It is tight in terms of The one piece that's been a little bit hard for the learning center is not being successful in the way they had in the past because of shared experience. Group Title 4, safety and that was the special ed team, one of the team. One of the things they wanted to do was really put together a sensory closet. So we put a good chunk of money in there where we can buy individual supplies, therapy, different things like that, so that teachers can create individual sensory buckets for their students.
Thank you. Thank you.
All righty. Miss Olson. Mr. Kaplan. You guys teleported a key. Nice. Well, thank you, Matt. Can you turn your up? Okay. Black focus. Top of the mask, but wow. Okay.
All right. So, here at the end, we're talking about the things that the high school is focusing on. The top three things that we're going to be talking about school, like the same theme, would be certainly around safety and the engagement around the school counselor. So, echoing what all the administrators said about reopening schools, the staff, and classrooms, the building. The only other thing that I'd add in addition to physical safety, we talk a lot about emotional safety and providing support and transition for our administrators and providing getting our plans together for activities and things like that to be able to make access to our school counselors and access to our support workers for that. In terms of communication, we really want a big communication push. Think about the priority. I think we've done school is going to go about week. Ray is executive producer now of getting all the services to our student-led production. It was definitely an I do. We shifted it to a we do, and it is really on the way of their thinking to be a we do for students. We also have the athletic parent player meeting. We've got to let them know about our activity program and what else to offer. And there's probably a good deal with how we can have the 300 and family members that are exactly offer. And then just the other kind of header around school counseling. This is a priority this year, really making sure that our counselors are accessible and available. We have college application. Really well attended, financial aid items that always have that for those things to be done there. And this is called partner. We have a college share night, and when we talk about college share, that was the only school that they knew of in the region that was hosting a virtual college share this early. So we have over 50 schools committed to us so far, many more on the way. The big proud moment of the day today was our senior meeting. So, one of our seniors received a personalized letter today, a student invitation for a science junior to schedule their own one-on-one conference with their counselor. So, very proud of that, and our counselors will be the resource for college and post-secondary life planning for our kids. So, very successful with the good teams that we can have.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. So when the seniors are scheduled their meeting, especially if the census parents and our seniors together, the invite includes not only the students in the office of the counselor, but the parent is participating in the room. So the parents are going to be part of the meeting and have the students be able to talk.
All right, any other questions? Thank you. All right, so, will you be on the double duty or will you be on that duty?
Okay.
Yes, sir. I just want to say, you know, I think I got most of what Stacey was saying. It is a little bit tough to hear, but like everybody's said, I think the program is off to a really great start this year. I've been extremely impressed with the staff's commitment to the huge volume and depth of the work that's kind of at their feet right now. You know, everything from getting back on track with annuals or triennials that hadn't been held, to making sure that the IEP implementation plans for students that are distance learning are put into place at the start of the year along with services, has just been an extraordinary effort. So I just wanted to note that. As far as the middle school and high school programming, we're continuing to bolster the scope and depth of the programs being offered by Derby Public Schools at the secondary level. We're just starting a program, it's referred to as an ADL program. Essentially, it's an offshoot of a learning center, but with a deeper focus on not only those functional academics, but functional academics through novel experiences within both the community and the school. So whether that's cooking, whether that's developing those transition skills, it's really something that is a really wonderful opportunity for us. Just today, I had a meeting with Sikorsky to see, you know, if we can partner with them. And it's, I think we're at the turning point for something really great in terms of really supporting those 15 to 21 and 22-year-old students. Just in addition to that, you know, like I said, the team has just been working tremendously hard, and that's it.
All righty, so listen, again, on behalf of the Board of Education, one of the other person who works for us, the school system, ultimately, is to operate certainly with the teachers, whether it's their professionals, custodians, secretary, and guys providing critical. Teachers additional time to do planning in a way that was
we made some adjustments to the calendar. We did this in, together in a way to balance, knowing that if you just put in additional half days without any planning, we're going to negatively impact families, working families, and parents who can't be at home with children. So we took a great look at the schedule and kind of fixed it. I also kind of be on the phone last Monday when I called her to look at survey results from teachers school by school on what their needs were. Her and I had a side dialogue on how we could help put the time in without impacting parents. So we've come up with a schedule that on October 7th, this is with DDA as well, and shared with them in our weekly meetings. Some of them are on the tonight. If you have questions for them, they can certainly answer those. October 7th was already a scheduled release day for professional development. We're going to open this up for teachers for planning and preparation as opposed to PD to give them the time to do the lessons that they need to, especially those that are uploading for remote learners. New would be adding in an additional early release day on October 21st, 2 weeks later, again on a Wednesday, as our other early release days are. It gives us time now to notify parents as well ahead of time. In addition to this, great idea by Elise Chambers from Herbert. So while I'm in my meetings explaining this. These chambers, one of my things up front was, guys, well, we're fixing the teacher schedule with additional early release days or otherwise. I don't want to negatively impact some of our own family members, our professionals, financially either. At the end of this, we're moving a day from the end of the year to November. So that would technically shorten the end of the year by one day for paraprofessionals as well. Financially, the impact on that. If I'm closing my school early, say on October 21st, the release day, parents are paid by the hour. They would lose that hourly rate that they had planned. So, Elise Chamber came up with a phenomenal suggestion. Well, what if the parents stayed, and for those parents who couldn't get out of work, their kids could stay, and the parents could be in the classroom to watch that, so that the parents don't have to worry about getting out a half day early. I thought it was a brilliant recommendation, and so that's what we're moving forward. So the parents will still be working on those half days with us, either planning with the teacher or watching kids for those families that absolutely can't get out of work from home and be with their children. And they'll have to request from the schools to know ahead of time. And that'll be the information that goes out to the parents. November 3rd is election day. Again, it was planned for PD. Now it will be a full planning and preparation day for teachers. And I'm giving them the option. We're all adults, so they can either come into the building and plan, or they can plan at home. And either way, it's a planning day, time their schedule to do their planning and get caught up with their lesson plan. November 11th, Veterans Day, is the paid holiday for both students and staff. So what we've offered here is that staff can use that day as a planning, additional planning and prep day. They need this now, not at the end of the year. So in exchange for working Veterans Day, we would take one day off at the end of the year. So they're still working the same 186. They're just working that one day in November instead of at the end of June. December 2nd is a scheduled early release day already in the calendar. We would use this for planning and preparation. And then adding an additional early release day on December 16th of planning and preparation. So this takes us through at least to the Christmas break. We'll know better where the state might know better where they are in terms of remote versus in person. As of right now, there is no plan to end the temporary or sunset the temporary remote learning for kids. Once we open up into phase three and are into it in December, maybe give a look at it differently. But
at least takes us through to Christmas break. And we'll be monitoring this on a weekly basis as we go along. Continue to meet with DDA on a weekly basis. So we believe this resolves a number of frustrations for staff just feeling over. Support, that's a great message. We are here to support you and help you plan it.
Thank you. Just a clarification about Veterans Day. So if teachers come in and work that day, did you mention that it reduces it takes on the off the school year?
Yes.
So students lose on the learning too.
No.
Because they
would
be on that day.
Right. That's why they don't lose it. They don't.
But we're taking away from the day in June for a day that it wouldn't happen there anyway. We're softening the school year. Just trying to understand.
We are for we are for students by one day. Yes.
A follow-up question.
And still, but it's we're 3 days over the already 3 days over the state number of days. We would be reducing that to student days by one day.
In terms of, I fully understand the need for planning. I understand completely because I feel like I'm doing a current job every day. Just talking to me, I'm coming to me from that directly that I need to start practicing and learn a little better and try to realize because we're trying to remain in our job. So I totally understand that. Where does the professional development fit in, though? They look at professional development and work towards the improvement plan, the improvement plan, and individual goals. Is that still built into professional development time, or are we giving it all
no,
to the planning?
We're going to be shifting that to the faculty meetings. So every Wednesday each week, there's a late day on those days for faculty meetings. So we're going to be shifting that some of that professional development for those people.
So the professional development will still occur towards the district school and individual.
Correct. Not with the same level of time or intensity, certainly, in the beginning of the year, at least from now through Christmas, than it normally than it otherwise would have. But Mr. Rafferty, for example, is still going to continue with his HPY and that professional development. But also supporting teachers, when I say they're going to be planning it and preparing it. Part of this is professional development. If we are learning how to do things new and different, so it's not our typical professional development, but it's much needed professional development at this time if we're going to get great at this. And I really think we need to focus on getting great at this because I don't see remote learning going away. I don't see remote and in-person synchronously going away. So it has stepped up the priority to refocus our own professional development.
I agree completely that it's absolutely professional development. I was just thinking more towards the big picture of the physical, the school goals moving forward while maintaining human and otherwise.
Mr. Foley.
There will be Veterans Day programs in the schools each year. There are just not on Veterans Day, which is typically the holiday in Derby, but they won't also look exactly like they used to. So we used to invite all the veterans in from all of the schools. We won't be able to have them in person, but it'll be virtually.
Thank you, Anne. Any other questions? Laura? Any questions?
No, I'm good.
Okay, there's a recommended motion in the absence of Secretary Kasnana.
Recommended motion, the Board of Education.
Recommended motion, the Board of Education approves the adjustment to the school calendar as recommended by the
superintendent. Motion made by Mr. Kasnana, is there any? Mr. Foley, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Pam, I'm sorry. I didn't hear Laura say aye. Were you in favor, Pam? I'm sorry.
Pam saying aye.
Okay. I didn't hear Laura. Okay. All those in favor? Were you everyone opposed? Motion carries.
Absolutely. Sure. Ms. Olenowski, along with us.
Thank you.
No, I just want to say thank you for listening to our concerns and working with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're welcome. Again, on behalf of the board, we certainly recognize the challenges that come with teaching 13 kids in the class, 15 kids at home, or whatever those numbers are. We certainly understand the challenges. Environment in person in this environment. So on behalf of the board, again, we're grateful for all the teachers and sacrifices you made to help with this, hope that this calendar adjustment helps in some way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Motion to Board of Education accepts educator guidelines for flexibility as recommended by the PECC committee.
Well, I can't read that, Mayor. Excuse me. I can't read that. Good eyes. Motion is made. Is there a second? Second, Tyler. All righty. Is Dr. Blackman?
So last week, the State Department put out part of our seed plan for the first day of the solution flexibility. So the state uses that particular clause within the seed plan to develop flexibility guidelines around the district and administrator evaluation process. So what it did is it took normally teachers submit two SLOs with their IEDs. Each of those SLOs were normally focused on assessment scores.
Awesome. Any questions, folks? Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Sure, it was an executive team first, but it was a PJ committee. So as soon as we got it, we would be in the same day ahead of the PJ meeting. And Sherry and PJ, he didn't reach out to them in the morning at 12:30 with the PJ committee.
Laura, can you questions?
No, good, thank you.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I heard Dan and I. Motion carries. Dr. Conway, item number 9, I believe. It's a third annual principal update.
Here's the dates where we are now. So the Social Advisory Committee is currently screening, has been screening applications. And I have been conducting reference checks on all of the applications. And then in the week of October 12th through 16th, Mr. Burns will be contacting those applicants that the selection committee identifies for interviews. And then the interviews will take place the following week, the 19th through the 23rd. 26th through the 30th will be scheduled second round interviews, more of the performance based assessment. Interview from the 2nd through the 6th, we will schedule visits to the finalists for our schools. And November 9th through the 13th, the Selection Advisory Committee will meet to recommend the selection committee to the Senate. And in time for our November 19th meeting, that's going to be the recommendation to the board.
Any questions? Laura, ma'am. And the selection. Again.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't be able to read that.
I couldn't read it.